The following podcast contains two drunk jerks.
And sometimes their friends.
Using obscene language and spoiling movies from the 80s.
So sit back and enjoy this audio experience.
The movie that solved the problem of how to do a sequel by just doing the first one backwards.
The movie that you can hate all you want until you find out it created the careers of Steven Root, Luis Guzman, and Colin Quinn. And goddammit, those are cool guys.
The movie with the toughest, meanest, coolest New York street gang, aka a bunch of white backup dancers from Michael Jackson videos.
This is Crocodile Dundee 2.
Australian for mediocre.
I'm Blockbuster Nostalgia.
Good night, blockheads, and welcome back to Blockbuster Nostalgia.
I am Francisco Andina. I'm not going to do an Australian accent.
I'm going to do the most...
as much as you as can.
It's going to be bad, people. Just strap in. Prepare yourself. I'm E.G. Seitz. Doing bad accents is one of the things I love very much about just life.
Yeah. About this podcast.
About this podcast
specifically. Where all we do is accents.
Yeah.
About the accents podcast.
Yeah.
Which actually sounds kind of not that bad.
Welcome to the accents podcast.
every week, an hour of accents.
of us doing very bad accent work.
Yeah. I feel like, how many episodes can you do of that?
Oh, there's a lot of accents out there.
There are, but if we're doing an hour each week, I feel like we cover like 10 accents and then that's
no,
it
no.
in the
it's
world.
It's all one accent each episode.
Oh, that's not bad. I still, though, that's only like 10 episodes.
No.
I don't know more than 5 accents.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
I mean, I personally can't do them, but I'm saying like I'm aware of them.
You're aware, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You muddle. You go like fucking South African and like Australian and stuff, and there's just words that tell me the difference.
Like, that's true.
Good day.
You do slip in and out.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
If you're trying to do an accent for, say, Australia, you can slip into Liverpoolian pretty easily.
Oh, yeah. That's true. Because if you instead of going like might, you say oi.
Yeah. Then as soon as you get to like oi there, mate,
Yeah, exactly. You're changing the whole fucking country.
Yeah, yeah.
British people all sound the same. That's what I'm saying. All British.
Basically, conquered. What we're saying, yeah. all you British people sound and look exactly the same. And also, Your soccer team's not that good.
No.
So.
No. I hate it. So anyway, what are we really doing on this podcast?
Well, we're counting down the top grossing movies of the 1980s, one by one. We're into the top 50. We're into that really high stuff.
Craziness. Crocodile Dundee Part 2.
Crocodile Dundee Part 2, which actually made considerably less than Crocodile Dundee Part 1, which we'll get to later on.
Yeah, way later on.
Way later
Crocodile
on.
Dundee Part 1 is like in the top 10 almost.
Something like that. Yeah, it's like top 15.
It's really high up there. Yeah. High. And this only came out like 2 years afterwards, or like a year and a half afterwards. But it made $109,305,000 fucking dollars.
Yeah.
Which is crazy. It is ahead of a lot of really cool movies that we've seen.
Yes. Already. Yes, it is.
Yeah. And it's again, we've done this before, but talking about the sequel before we talk about the first one.
It's always weird because it's been a while since I've seen the original. It's also a movie, much like we talked about the Police Academies, where I feel like in the 80s.
A lot better when you're a kid.
Well, a lot better when you're a kid, for sure.
Yeah.
But also, this was an 80s staple of, hey, that first movie, even though it wasn't really for kids, kids fucking loved that shit. So
let's make the second one for fucking
yeah,
kids.
Let's just make the rest of them for kids. It happened to Conan. It happened to Police Academy. It happened to RoboCop.
Oh, yeah.
It happened to all those fucking movies.
So this movie is rated PG.
Yep.
Part one was rated PG-13.
Yeah, so I mean, it wasn't
for
exactly.
The thong,
yeah, for the thong.
It's not a huge, I mean, it's not a huge shit.
We'll talk about
shift,
the thong, but.
But. It's rated PG. There's also 10 uses of the word shit in this movie.
Yeah, and at least one bitch.
And at least one bitch. Son of a bitch, I think.
But no fucks. No fucks. That's the thing. No fucks and no thongs.
But
so.
I feel like if you get one shit in there, that's a PG-13 rating.
Yeah.
Like, because, I think about it. There is no G anymore.
Look.
Everything. All Disney movies are rated PG nowadays.
That's true, which is a little weird. But think about this. So the beginning of this movie opens up with Paul Hogan, a.k.a. Crocodile Dundee, a.k.a. Mick Dundee. Yeah, because he's not an actual crocodile, people.
Yeah, no. Apparently, they put the crocodile in the title with in quotations because they thought people were going to think Crocodile Dundee was about a fucking crocodile named Dundee.
Which makes sense, because when you go see Kangaroo Jack, you're expecting a goddamn kangaroo named Jack.
The Kangaroo Jack was about a kangaroo named Jack.
Ka-cha-ching!
Yeah. But I do feel like nobody just... I mean... Were people in the 80s just picking a name off of the fucking marquee and then just going in?
I think so, because you didn't... It's not like you went on YouTube and watched trailers.
That's true. But there were ads and shit everywhere. And there people, were ads, people read the newspaper back then.
That's true. And you would have seen in the newspaper, you would have seen your local critic being like, well, sit down.
And if you don't remember that, that was like Facebook and YouTube all rolled into one.
The newspaper?
Yeah, the newspaper. And the newspaper was printed.
Like, the newspaper was like Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube rolled into one, but... You had to actually know what the fuck you were talking about.
Yeah, and it was, and you had to like black and white, and you had, and also this is weird, like fucking like rabbit hole thing where they're like, read this fucking story on the front page. Halfway through though, you're gonna have to ruffle through and
jump
find
to
it.
Page 12
and fucking page 13B.
Yeah, that's right.
yeah, which is bullshit, and I never liked that.
Oh yeah, I can see how that could get confusing because sometimes you'd start reading the wrong article.
Yeah.
So you'd be reading about, like, you know, fucking sports.
Trade deficits.
And then all of a sudden it would get to, yeah, it'd be like the president. You'd be like, wait, what happened?
Yeah. One president, Reagan.
Yeah, that's Gipper. Right. Because I was definitely reading the newspaper.
During the 80s.
During the Reagan years. And not just flipping to the cartoon strips and being like, these are not very funny.
Yeah. Yeah, actually, cartoon strips are not funny. Even at the best, like, endearing.
Yeah,
endearing.
Yeah.
Charlie Brown, endearing.
Yeah.
Only sometimes funny.
All right. So it opens up with him fishing via dynamite, which is, of course, how all Bushmen fish.
All Australian people fish with fucking dynamite.
That's right. But when the cops show up, the captain or whoever the fuck is just like, oh, Mick, you old rascal.
You.
And getting back to the rating thing, I think that's what happened. Like, they went to Paul Hogan and they're like, you say the word shit like 20 times in this movie. And he's like, oh, did I though? I don't know. You know, it was just from Australia over here. And they're just like, ah, Paul Hogan.
Get out of here,
you. Get out of here. You get a PG, you rascal.
Yeah, we're going to give this kid a PG still. Seriously, you get a very Irish cop like, Mick. Are you blowing up fish with the dynamite again?
See, then, you can do it. Yeah, very good. Yeah.
And he's like, yes. And then like, ah, get out of here, you scamp.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what happened. So then, first of all, he's way the fuck out there. He's not even close to the shore.
No.
He like,
I mean, he's using dynamite. So here, clearly, he's concerned about, you know, killing somebody.
Those are very polluted waters. Don't eat those fish.
Oh, do not eat those fish. Yeah.
But you know what? He actually doesn't eat the fish. He instead uses it to scare his girlfriend.
That's true.
While she is in the shower.
Which is the best use of fish.
Yeah, exactly.
Because fish is disgusting.
Yeah, and stupid.
Eat cows and chicken like normal people.
And then we get, all right, so now we get we figure out they're living in New York like they were at the end of the first one.
Right.
But now, you know, they're together. Everything is good. But then she finds out that her ex-husband or boyfriend?
Yes, husband.
That her ex-husband is down in Colombia, and he is fucking
in.
Yeah, he's like doing these exposés about the cartels in Colombia.
That's right.
But the fucking newspaper,
it's a picture of him.
It's a picture of him.
So it's like the headline. It's like child soldiers or something along these lines.
Colombia,
yeah, in Colombia, and you're like, oh, that's terrible. But then it's just a picture of him in his safari hat
with sunglasses. Yeah, like no, you can't even tell where he's at. That shit could have been taken in a fucking restaurant.
I love that. Yeah. I love like the idea that you would be reporting on, like, oh God, there was a volcano eruption, but here's a glamour shot of me. Yeah, aren't I fucking handsome?
Here's me reporting it.
Yeah.
Yeah. On the cover of the newspaper.
Yeah. And it's only so that we can establish that A,
that's
her
the guy.
Ex.
Yeah.
And also so that her I don't know, secretary or friend or whoever the fuck that's supposed
assistant
to be
or whatever
can be like, oh, he's sexy. I want to fuck that guy. And then they get that very good joke about, you know, hey, how's Crocodile Dundee in bed? And she's like, I don't know. He sleeps on the floor.
He's he not only does he not sleep with her, but he's bad at sex.
Yeah, probably.
I feel probably, like that's what that means.
Yeah, that's probably what it means.
All he's got is that knife. He can't. He doesn't know how to do anything else.
I mean, although we do see later, he's very good at tying knots. So there's something a little bit there.
It's a great type of deal. That.
Maybe it was this secretly the 50 Shades of Grey prequel.
Well, only like she's very rich and he's like very naive and
right. But he's also a bushman that knows very many knots.
Yeah, from all the Australian women.
Yep, exactly.
Out in the wilderness of Australia.
Or it's about a guy that goes out into the wilderness and bondage ties animals, which very creepy and very different kind of movie. And I don't want to see it, quite frankly. I'm offended that you brought it up, Francisco.
I feel like this is how we're going to fix this movie. It's going to be bondage Australian animals. First of all, the most exotic of animals.
That's true. You can't bondage up a koala in America. You got to go to Australia. Yeah, you got to go to Australia. Shit.
Fucking kangaroos.
If you
want to
bondage ties a kangaroo.
Yeah.
If you want to get up in that pouch.
The most magical animal that we have in this. There's two that are legitimately magical animals. Narwhals and platypi.
Oh, sorry, yeah. Platypuses. Pretty crazy. Yeah.
Platypuses are fucking magic. So I feel like, but you got to go to Australia for that shit.
That's true. Yeah.
And then Crocodile is just tying them up down there.
Oh, you know what's weird about this movie? No crocodiles, no platypi.
No.
No, really, the only thing you get is crocodiles and you get like those.
You get him dressed up as a crocodile.
You get him dressed up as a crocodile. Very good.
Yeah.
You get a couple snakes and I don't know, you get like a wildebeest or whatever the fuck they're supposed to be.
Oh, yeah. Boxes a kangaroo, which was
that's
disappointed
that's
about.
A huge down, yeah.
Because if I know anything about Australia, is you get to box kangaroos.
I assume based on the game Tekken and Tekken, all of the sequels.
Yeah,
it's just boxing kangaroos nonstop, 24/7.
And I think like 1912 circuses.
Yes,
you could just get in there and box and legitimately fight a living kangaroo.
I don't understand why I'm not doing that.
Yeah, because
right
life
now.
Was better back then.
Yeah.
You just drink whiskey all day and then
I mean, that's, you know, again, make America great again. Let us box kangaroos.
Yeah. You're tired of beating your wife, so
exactly.
You go in there and fight a kangaroo, and then the kangaroo kicks your ass, and then your wife gets that nice feeling of seeing your ass get beat.
That's true. And then it's like balance.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like karmic balance to your life.
And then, like, he needs you now. Now you have to take care of him because a kangaroo beat the fuck out of him.
Exactly. And now you feel loved because he's relying on you.
Yeah.
And he's not beating you up because he hurts very bad from the kangaroo.
From the kangaroo. Yeah. Also, kangaroos fight dirty. They kick like a motherfucker, and that's where their power comes from.
I think we fixed relationships and this movie.
And this fucking movie. So all right, there's also, I did want to mention the scene where they're going through that mall size like department store.
Yeah, that was weird.
Yeah.
There's a whole section that looks like an Indian bazaar and they have a snake like charmer.
No, there's a guy like, yeah, playing the flute and he's like, there's like a cobra coming out and he's just talking to her and he just grabs a cobra and breaks its neck and then keeps talking to her.
It's pretty cool.
But it makes me wonder, was that a real fucking cobra? Like, what?
What was going on in that department store that they had a real goddamn cobra?
Because don't have a real cobra. These are like rich white women wandering about. One of them is going to get bit and killed by a fucking live cobra.
Yeah, yeah.
So I was like, is that was that like a funny like animatronic cobra?
That he broke the neck of?
That he breaks the neck of?
Could be.
Because the
puppet?
Yeah, the joke is good. But then it just made me, I had more questions than answers in that joke.
That's a lot of this movie, actually. There's a lot of questions more than answers in this movie.
Yeah, there was a lot of that shit. We were just like, why does that make sense to them?
So the plot of this movie is, her ex-husband, he's doing this reports on the Colombian drug cartels, takes pictures of the main dude.
He's taking pictures of the cartel. He's
yes.
following the cartel.
He's
around.
Just taking pictures of them. He finds the main guy shooting a dude in the head.
Yeah, they get the guy out and they kneel him down and he pulls a gun and the guy's like,
What's going on?
Like if he never took pictures of a fucking cartel before.
Or if you just have you ever seen a movie? Have you ever Let me see, this drug cartel just drug a dude out, and now someone's holding a gun to his head. Gee, I wonder what's happening.
Yeah, so he takes pictures. They make him. Like, they see that he's taking pictures, and he's like, uh-oh. So they fucking chase him. He gets out of there and immediately mails the pictures to her, to Linda, right?
Because, of course, he's not going to send it back to the CIA, who evidently... Or no, it's the FDA he's working for.
Yeah, he's working for the FDA, but he's worried that they're just going to leave him there as soon as they get the pictures.
I assume the drug cartels are working for the CIA.
Yeah, of course. I don't know if you saw any like Narcos or anything like that. You find out that it's all just bullshit, and they're all just working together all the fucking time. They're all informants for each other and shit. But so he's like, I'm not going to send you the pictures because then you're just going to leave me here once you have the pictures. Then
spoiler alert, it's not going to matter because the cartel kills him in like the very
immediately.
Next scene.
Yeah, but they do overhear his call.
Right.
Which is actually really funny because like he calls him and it's like Paul Hogan being like, I don't know how this machine works, right?
Hi. Leave a message, I guess.
Isn't this something? I can't do it.
Yeah. Boss is Australian for leave a message.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He says that like
every other line
says it. So then they kill him. Then their plan. All right. So they're Colombian cartel.
Yep.
They're dealing with probably like $100 million worth of back and forth.
Easily.
Easily. 2 months. Back and forth and cocaine. So then it becomes like, let's all of us, including the head of the cartel, go to New York.
To kidnap this lady.
To kidnap this lady to try to find out where the pictures are. Not to like break into her place and take the pictures.
Right. We have some questions.
Not to get the mailman as he's walking up.
Nope.
No. All of us, including the head of the cartel, let's all go to New York and kidnap this lady because we want to ask her some questions about these pictures.
And again, this guy, he is the head of the cartel. Everybody knows he's the head of the cartel. Yeah. But for some reason, the American government needs pictures of him murdering somebody in order to arrest him.
Yeah. Despite the fact that he's head of the cartel. I mean,
also, how did he get into the country?
Yeah, no, I mean, you know, with the cocaine.
Also, anyways, the whole plot makes no sense. But that's basically the plot. And then obviously our good friend and hero, Mick Dundee, has to save the day, rescue the girl.
Because she calls
him. They kidnap her almost immediately. And
they take her to this mansion that they have for some reason in New York. Well, I mean, not for some reason. They have a connection.
They're rich, yeah.
There's a connection in New York that's super rich.
Yeah. Well, and the thing that's a little weird about this is, so the villain does a lot of monologuing to her, and yet at no time is he like, come have dinner with me. You are very sexy, and let us have dinner.
Which
and,
is what you yeah, do no, if you're a
exactly.
super villain.
If you're a super villain that's like she is monologuing really to a girl the entire time, it's because you want to fuck her, right? But instead, they're often just, we cut back to them in the room, and they're just standing there. They're just like silently standing around being like.
Yeah. He's just like looking at drapes.
Yeah.
And she's like looking at the fireplace.
She's like, oh, Mick, come and save me. And he is like, yes.
So, well, Crocodile Dundee, she calls him and he's like, all right, I got to go. Then he starts getting followed by one Steven Root.
That's right.
This is breakout right here.
His first major motion picture appearance.
Yeah. And if you don't know who Steven Root is, go fuck yourself.
Yeah,
he's an amazing fucking actor.
Yeah, Steven Root's fucking great. I mean, you know Steven Root,
News Radio,
Office Space.
He's a stapler guy in Office Space.
Exactly.
He also does a ton of voice.
Oh, Brother, Where Art Thou? Yeah, tons of voice work. He's all over the fucking place.
He's Bill Dautry in King of the Hill. He does that voice. Yeah, no, he works at the Coen Brothers a shit ton.
Oh yeah, all the time.
Yeah, Steven Root's amazing. So he plays.
Well, that's some mighty fine a picking and a singing.
He's a blind guy.
Yeah. He's great.
He's like the agent that's following him and stuff.
Yeah,
like that.
young Stevie Root,
which
still looks pretty much the same.
Still looks like Stevie Root.
He looks a little bit younger. He's a little more vibrant in the face.
Yeah, he does, and he's wearing one of those cool ties with the flat ends.
That's right. He looks exactly like you would expect either a cop and or teacher from 1988 to look.
To look like exactly.
Yep.
Because they got the same level of respect as cops and or teachers. So then they talk to him, right? And then he...
Well, yeah. So they go up there. They talk to him in the room. He finds out kind of... He gets a call from the cartel guy, so he knows a little bit what's up. Then he corners Steven Root, holds a knife to his dick.
Oh, yeah. That's
again,
right. In the bathroom.
Kids movie.
Yeah, kids movie. In the bathroom while he's taking a piss.
Yep. And gets the information of what exactly is going on.
And who he is and where he is.
Yeah, exactly.
Where the cartel dude is. And I can't remember his fucking name, but...
It doesn't matter.
It was something like Eco. It ended with Eco, like Rico or something.
Yeah.
But anyway, so he gets the information and he's like, let's do it. So he calls his good friend fucking Leroy Brown.
Right. So we'd met. So early in the movie, you find out that Old Mick Dundee is unemployed, living off his girlfriend's evidently very fucking high salary.
Super wealthy girlfriend, because that apartment in New York
is
crazy.
Very, very nice, and she's supporting them both and everything. But he's hanging out at the bars, hanging out with kids, teaching them about like tracking snakes in the fucking desert.
Yeah, like hanging out with kids, which is a weird thing for a grown man to do.
A little bit. But he also
Central Park and shit.
He's also hanging out at this bar where we are introduced to Leroy Brown, the baddest man in the whole damn town.
Yeah.
And it's this black guy who is acting like he's this super like gangstery connected dude moving drugs.
Because his name is Leroy Brown.
Because his name's Leroy Brown, he wants to live up to the song. But in actuality, he's just selling like pens.
Yeah, it was a stationery. Yeah.
So, but
and it's Charles Dutton.
There's a lot of like weird other adventures, like him talking the dude down from committing suicide, and just has nothing to do with anything.
I do want to talk about that because that's a weird scene. So he's talking to her. Who the fuck is he talking to?
You know what? That's a good question. I don't know why he's meeting with that woman.
I think he went up to ask a question. I don't know. But then there's a guy. See, that's this movie though.
Yeah.
There's a lot of like, why did that happen? I don't know, but it happened.
Yeah, there's a lot of scenes that it very much feels like a movie that you had a bunch of different writers coming up with like, oh, you know what would be a good scene for old Croc Dundee?
Yeah.
If he did this.
What
and then they're like,
crazy shit could Crocodile Dundee get into?
They just came up with like 50 scenes and they were like, all right, smash them together now.
Yeah, let's tie them together. So there's this guy on the ledge. And so clearly, being a bushman from Australia,
nothing qualifies you more.
Clearly, a guy who was in the first one famous for fighting a crocodile off with his bare hands.
Yep.
Clearly, that bushman from Australia is qualified to deal with a fucking jumper off of a building.
Yeah, that makes total sense.
And that's exactly what he uses his crocodile wrangling skills.
Uh-huh.
He uses his backwoods survival skills to tuck a yuppie off of a fucking ledge.
Yeah.
And he does it in the weirdest way, too. He, like, walks around and he's like, hey, I'm trying to get through here, but you're standing here off on the ledge. And the guy's like, I'm going to jump. And then he's like, well, why do you want to jump? And then he, like, falls off the ledge himself, almost.
That's right, almost.
And scares the guy into being like, I don't want to fall anymore. And then that was it. That's it.
Yeah.
That's.
I wonder, because this movie came out, what, a year or two after Lethal
Weapon?
Lethal Weapon,
right?
Yeah.
So Lethal Weapon also has a crazy Australian guy.
Exactly. Only he grabs the dude and jumps.
And jumps with him, yeah. And teaches him that,
teaches
you know.
Him Australian people were really teaching us a lot of lessons back in the 80s. I got
to
tell you
That's like the Australian thing to do is to like, oh, we're going to scare you back into, like, we're going to scare you away from suicide by showing you what it would be like to fucking die of it.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I feel like half of the time that just ends with you dying.
With you dying, yeah.
Yeah. Although, all right, so now, who wins in a fight?
What, Paul Hogan or Mel Gibson?
Yeah.
Mel Gibson, right? Mel Gibson. He's got that crazy factor again.
Yeah. Again, the wild card.
Yeah, he's the wild card. Yeah, you can't.
Although, like, real life human beings? Paul Hogan and Mel Gibson?
Yeah, still Mel.
Still Mel Gibson?
Still Mel Gibson. I mean, definitely, if it's Lethal. Well, if it's Lethal Weapon, Mel Gibson and Paul Hogan, like Crocodile Dundee, it depends on the situation. If it's like a straight up one-on-one fight,
that's true.
Then it is Riggs from Lethal Weapon. If it's like they've got to hunt each other in the swamp or in the outback,
then it's Crocodile Dundee.
Obviously that switches completely. Yes, if it's just a straight up Mel Gibson versus Paul Hogan, I feel like Mel Gibson is going to take it.
Fair.
Yeah.
What if they're fighting each other, but they're like back and forth hunting each other through like a funhouse?
Okay.
Now they're both out of their element.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. It's kind of like crazy and like disorienting.
I do feel like old Dundee is better at using his environment.
Yeah.
But again, that crazy factor, man.
He, for some reason, Crocodile Dundee, for some reason, is able to use his Bushman fucking techniques. And to any situation.
Look, if you've ever been in the bush, Francisco, I know you've never been in the bush, Francisco, but for those of us who have lived and breathed and sucked in the bush, you know that once you've survived in the bush, you can survive anywhere. Those skills, they're universal.
They pay the bills, those skills.
Those skills do indeed.
In fact, they pay the bills.
As long as those bills are related to, I don't know, crocodile skins?
Yeah. Bats?
Bats.
Eating bats?
Eating bats. Yeah. Hey, if Three Amigos and this movie taught me anything, is that bats are good eating.
Yeah. I kind of want to taste some bat.
Ever since Three Amigos, I have wanted to eat bat.
Yeah, I feel like it wouldn't be that bad. I mean, we eat quail and shit, and I feel like it's the same size of animal.
Yeah, I'm sure it's fine.
Yeah.
You can eat squirrel, whatever, who cares?
Taste some, yeah, squirrel. Hey, yeah, all right, so a quail and a squirrel together, I feel, make one bat.
Yeah, you basically just, yeah.
I bet you that's the flavor of it. That's yeah.
Yeah. So just take some squirrel and some quail, mix them together.
All right. So anyway.
What are we talking about? A movie?
Yeah. Speaking of mixing things together, let's mix our sponsors together.
Oh, remix.
All right. Sponsor
first
number
up,
one.
People's Choice Beer Geek Video
Express
Bakery.
Yeah. One sponsor. One video store that also mixes beer with pastries.
Yeah, no, the real shit is People's Choice Video and Beer Geek Bakery separately, but they both do mix great things that go well together. For instance, People's Choice Video mixes that great, great taste of both new, like brand new, spanking new, hot releases, as well as those classic jams.
Yeah.
That classic good shit, like, for instance, Crocodile Dundee.
Yeah.
And you can get both of them at People's Choice Video. Super cheap.
Yeah. Best
check
deal
it
town.
Out. Yeah.
Cool stuff.
And check then, out People's Choice Video. Follow them on Facebook. All that stuff. And then, of course, Beer Geek Bakery, which again mixes two amazing things as well. Yeah. Tell them about it.
Craft beer and delicious, delicious pastries. She actually uses the craft beer in the pastries and then pairs it together. So you get both of the flavors. Amazing. Events all over town at all the breweries around town. One of a kind. Nobody else is doing it.
That's right.
So come to one of the events. Look it up. Follow her on Instagram. Follow them on Facebook and all that good stuff.
Yeah, for sure. Beer Geek Bakery.
And if you mention the podcast when you go buy a treat, you get $1 off.
That's right. Saving and delicious food and beer. You can't go wrong with that.
No. So anyway, all right, back to this fucking movie. So he finds out where she's at.
Right. So she's at this mansion that they've rented, and
he goes there with Leroy Brown
and they scout it out and they're like, oh, there's a lot of dudes there with guns and stuff. So what are we going to do?
So then they give the bush guy the plan. Like the Carl only comes up with this fucking plan. Here's his plan. We need a diversion. And then Leroy Brown is like, I know exactly what we need.
I know exactly what we need. I'm a super bad dude. So like all bad dudes,
I'm connected with the gangs.
I'm connected with the gangs. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking the Bloods. You're thinking the Crips.
This is 1988. So even maybe you're even thinking like the Warriors a little.
Yeah,
bit.
You're maybe thinking the Warriors or, you know,
yeah, you're
who
thinking
knows?
About punks.
I mean, it's again, it's New York. You know, maybe it's the Puerto Ricans. Maybe it's the Blacks. Maybe it's whoever. No,
the Blacks, but yeah. But yeah, you know,
could be
I mean.
The Irish.
Yeah, the Irish.
Although I feel like that maybe just be the cops.
Yeah, that's true.
But
yeah.
But you're thinking like, all right, there's gonna be some hard motherfuckers, some biker gang, the Hell's Angels.
Yeah,
they were fucking stabbing people at concerts and shit, right?
No, they show up to like a rumpus room with fucking with Iggy Pop playing.
Yeah, they show up to this fucking room with like extras from like, I don't know,
it's
Greece
like,
or some shit.
It's like multicultural. It's like the fucking like Reading Rainbow.
Yes,
cast showed up
has
and
grown
they,
up.
Yeah, and they put fucking like a vest on them and shit. And then that was like not, studs and vests.
Not since Short Circuit 2 has there been a less intimidating gang.
Led by one like 25-year-old white dude, like
with
upper middle class white dude.
Yeah, he is the most. He is the least intimidating gang leader I have ever seen in my entire life.
And yeah, and then they have to go in there like, hey, we need your help.
You know, that would be fine, too. Like, by the way, that would be fine if they went to this very silly, dumb gang, but then they had a very good plan on how to use said gang. I'd be like, you know, whatever.
No, I don't know what the fuck their plan is, but here's how it plays out. They go in there, they talk to him, and he's like, they're doing this shitty, way shitty back and forth, like trying to like size each other up.
Yeah.
But it's hilarious because it's some fucking like 25-year-old backup dancer to Apollo Abdul video.
Yeah.
And Crocodile Dundee.
It might as well be an animated cat.
Yeah, it was one animated cat. because he's about as intimidating as that fucking cat.
That's true.
Yeah. It is one animated cat and Crocodile Dundee talking to each other. And then there's a part where he throws a knife at a punk guy's hair.
That's right. That's right.
And then they're like, all right, we like this guy. We're going to help you out. So then they get in this car and they ride together. And then everybody that sees them drive by is like, that is Boy George and fucking Culture Club.
That's right. Let's go. This must be like an impromptu concert. Let's check it out.
Let's all follow Oingo Boingo as they fucking drive down the street because they look like a new wave fucking
group. So then they get to this mansion and he's like, There's like 40 cars. He's like, just create a distraction. So of course, when you have 80 people,
yeah,
what's the best distraction you can come up with?
Wolf
having
noises.
Three people howl.
Yeah. Dog noises. And then they're like making all the dog noises and there's like, and Crocodile is like, ready? Yeah, ready. And then he takes the rocks and a rocket
hits
breaks
one camera.
And then that's it.
Yep.
So then the
end of plan.
So the plan was, let's get people to make noises and I will smash out one camera and then go in there.
And then like six dudes will come out with guns and I will one by one
take them out without using any of these 80 people that are here. They're just going to be making noises. And
it's very bad and dumb.
Because we talked about this when we were watching this, if all he would have done was break one camera, one guy comes out.
And then you just take out one guy.
Take out one guy, and then they never turn on the brake lights or anything. You still get inside the building.
Yeah.
But no, they all come out. He takes them out one by one. He goes inside the building. And then, hilariously, he like breaks a door down that lands on top of the main bad guy and knocks him out.
Problem over.
Yeah. He gets her. And then, for some reason,
everybody comes in and it's just like, party time. All right, let's do this.
And they're like, we're going to throw a party at this fucking house with all the drug cartel guys.
Yeah. Meanwhile, there's still like six dudes there with fucking guns. Yeah.
And I feel like maybe like the music just started and then those six dudes also partied with them.
I feel like at that point you're like, yeah, okay.
There's a party. Yeah, like there's some young people time, here now. We're young. Let's party it up.
Sexy chicks. Yeah. Fuck it.
Music is just happening for no reason. Somebody's just handing out alcohol for no fucking reason.
Oh yeah. No, you know that mansion has some wine or something.
And then they leave because the cops show up. So then Crocodile and Leroy and her, they like take off. But also, I feel like the cops also probably joined up.
Oh, this sounds like a really awesome party.
This is
actually
fucking badass.
If I could go to a party with Colombian drug lords, the cops, and a bunch of reject backup dancers / gangsters.
And then also, not only that, Colin Quinn.
Not only that, but one of the great comedians
Colin
of
Quinn
all time.
In a tuxedo.
Mr. Colin Quinn in a tuxedo.
Because
showing up at the party to say one line to get paid because I assume either Paul Hogan or one of the other producers was like, saw him in a comedy show and was just,
we should
God
put
damn,
him
this guy's funny. Yeah.
Yeah. And he just, he shows up, he says one line in a tuxedo and then that's it. And they like put emphasis on him.
Yeah.
For no reason. But we appreciated it.
We know the reason because it's fucking Colin Quinn.
Yeah. Apparently, so this is his first movie. He apparently got the screenplay and he rewrote it.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. I did hear about this.
He rewrote it and made himself like Crocodile on his sidekick.
Bigger part of it.
And then he was like, he turned it into the producer. Was like, hey, maybe you guys should look at this one. And think about this.
That's pretty great.
Yeah. And they were like, I don't know who you think you fucking are.
Yeah.
You can't, we're not going to change the whole movie now because
we hired you one wrote low yourself. Rent fucking stand up. Yeah. Still, I feel like that movie a better movie.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
The Colin Quinn sidekick movie. Better movie.
Way better movie.
Yeah,
Crocodile
for
Dundee
sure.
And having to deal with Colin Quinn back then.
Just them being in the outback and Crocodile Dundee doing things and Colin Quinn just making quips.
Yeah, because then you get kind of like that opposite thing where like Colin Quinn is out of his element in the outback. So then he's a naive one that doesn't know how to talk to people and shit. Like in the first one, Paul Hogan was.
That's right. That's right.
So they throw this huge rage at a party that I wish that I was at.
Nope, but we cut right to that to the next morning.
And they're just fucking... He's
making mild comedy.
Yeah, oh, very lukewarm. He's just making eggs for cops.
That's right. And he spills them, but still serves them.
He drops one. Yeah, he gives it to the cop. Very little kid joke where the cop is like, spitting stuff out, lint and shit out.
But then they start shooting in up the windows.
Yeah.
So old Croc Dundee is like, I can't keep her safe here. You can't keep her safe, clearly, because we just got shot out eating breakfast. But I know one place where she'll be safe.
And the FBI guy is like, go on.
Yeah.
Instead of being exactly. like, you were just a guy, dude. Shut up.
Yeah. Like, no. The FBI guy's like, look, you do you.
Yeah. Like,
what do I know? I'm just the FBI guy.
I think you got this. You got this.
You got this, crazy Bushman.
Because then they go to Australia and they do not take any FBI guys with them.
And
the FBI is just like, bye, guys.
Not only, so we all know Crocodile Dundee in this movie, fairly famous guy because he had this whole news report about him, right?
Yeah.
Fairly famous guy, famously from Australia.
Yeah.
Not only do they go to Australia, where this guy is famously from, they go back to his hometown where all of his friends are.
I mean, like, they'll never find us here.
They'll never find us here. And here's the thing. We cut to the Colombian drug lords, and they're like, we don't know where he is. Can't find him anywhere. Yeah.
Nowhere in the world can we find this Australian guy from Australia.
We've looked everywhere, yeah. We've looked everywhere except for his home fucking town. It's the Star Wars situation.
Yeah.
Where they're looking everywhere except for where Darth Vader's whole family is. Yeah. His kid's name is still exactly the same.
Yeah, like just trace that shit back. And then the FBI specifically says, we can't, like, we're gonna have to bring him to justice, but we can't do it without your testimony for some fucking reason.
Which makes no sense.
Because they have the pictures. We can't do it without your testimony. So anyway, go to Australia by yourselves, guys.
Yeah. You got this.
Yeah. They go to Australia, and then there's some rambunctious, like, funny, like, oh, remember the guys from the first movie?
Right. Kinda? It's very much the, like, wink, wink, like, here's the dudes from the first one. Oh, we're having a good time.
We're at that bar again.
Yeah. And then they go off into the wilderness. You find out that Crocodile Dundee, he owns all this land. So he's like, actually secretly rich this entire time.
He owns, like, a fucking, like, Rhode Island size.
Yeah.
Or even bigger size.
And there's also a shit ton of gold.
Yeah, which, like, you could have mentioned that in the beginning.
Like, he pulls out a huge chunk of gold. Whatever. That stuff doesn't really matter.
Gold means nothing to Australian people.
No.
They find that shit everywhere.
That's right. You're out there shitting in gold.
He throws it at the bad guys' heads.
That's right. He might as well kill them with gold bullets.
Yeah.
That's why we call Crocodile Dundee Goldeye.
Yeah, exactly.
Goldeneye.
Crocodile Dundee Goldeneye, AK, Goldeneye.
N64, Crocodile Dundee version. That didn't work at all.
No, not even a little bit.
Not even a little bit. I thought there was a thing there. I thought there's a path here to a joke, and there wasn't.
No.
But the Colombian drug lords track him down there. They hire some locals to help them.
Including Luis Guzman.
He's one of the Colombians, but
that's true. But
he shows up.
The third awesome cameo.
That's right. Exactly. So all of a sudden, they're like, we need some backup from other Colombian dudes. Enter one, Luis Guzman.
Yeah. So here's what's going on. The main guy that leads this drug cartel,
right,
that deals in,
he has left his entire
hundreds
business.
Hundreds of millions of dollars worth of cocaine. He had a suitcase full of cocaine. That shit is a lot of money.
Oh yeah.
He leaves all the business because he's like, kill the woman, but leave this Crocodile Dundee to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I was saying, this is a point in a documentary about this guy where people are like, and then he went crazy and started chasing an Australian dude.
Yep.
Like, he leaves the entire business.
He had the entire world in his hands.
Yeah. There's a part where his henchman, I thought he was going to be like, hey, can we go back to just making cocaine? Because we are in Australia right now with rifles and dealing with fucking Aborigines. Like,
yeah.
Why are we doing this, man?
Got pythons being thrown at people. Yeah. This is not...
Yeah, they're eating bats and shit. Why are we here? First of all, why is he there? He's the lead of the cartel.
Right.
He's got.
Aren't you at a mansion somewhere banging like 50 million Colombian hookers?
Yeah. And doing all the cocaine off of all their Colombian asses.
That's right.
No, he goes himself. In fact, if you want to kill him, have him brought back.
You do have to respect a boss that doesn't give jobs to his employees that he wouldn't do himself.
His own hands.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And lo and behold, hunting a bushman in the bush Turns out, not that fucking easy.
That's right. So then we get into the Home Alone section of this movie, where
slash Rambo.
Yeah, slash Rambo. It's the exact in between, because he doesn't kill anybody like Rambo, but he also, it's in the bush, so it's not quite Home Alone. Shit. Yeah, he ends up just tying them up, which again, Australian animal bondage.
He
ends up tying them all up as he takes them out one by one. Meanwhile, his buddy. Whose name? Gator.
Yeah, that's Walter Riley was the character's name.
Yeah, so he's with the bad guys, and they're kind of both playing games.
Yeah, they kidnapped him, and
it's fine.
And he leads them to him, but then Crocodile Dundee like shoots at him. So yeah, they're like, oh, we'll let him go then, because clearly they're not friends, even though he didn't actually hit him.
Right. Well, he does. He scrapes him.
He scrapes him. Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like if you're that good of a shot, though, that you can just barely
you could have killed the bad guy.
You could have just shot the bad guy in the face.
Yeah, yeah, that's a like waste of a fucking shot. Hit the main bad guy.
If you shoot the drug leader in the head, the rest of the guys are like, fuck this, we're out.
Yeah, exactly. Who's going to be like, we're going to... Because none of them are like...
give a shit about him.
Backing up this... The only reason they're there is because he's their leader.
Right. He pays them a very great sum of money, yeah. I would imagine.
So if you shoot that, then you're like, hey... Bye. We're gonna go back to making millions of dollars
exactly.
with cocaine.
Now this dude's in charge.
Like, yeah, yeah. Yeah, exactly. And guess what? He's not doing obsessing over a fucking crocodile man because he gives zero fucks about that.
No,
dude.
Exactly.
Instead, they go. They keep at it. He dresses up like a crocodile at one point, which is actually kind of cool.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So because he fake attacks his friend, and so the other guys wander off, leave
them
alone.
And they're like,
shit,
he totally took him.
He does this whole thing where he calls his Aborigine buddies so that they can come help him.
Yeah.
And yeah, one by one, he takes everybody out until the ending scene, which is really bad and doesn't make any sense. And I don't understand why they did it this way.
Yeah. I mean, I get the little switcheroo thing that goes on.
I guess.
So he captures the main.
He captures the main guy. Tells him to take off his pants because we got to get one
gay joke.
Yeah,
in there.
Exactly. It's the '80s, so it's required.
I like the reaction to every time that happens. Every time that you get a situation like that where somebody's like, "Take off your pants," then the immediate thing, no matter what the situation is like. I'm going to get raped now. Like, his look is like, what? When I feel like the odds of him raping you at this point are kind of low.
Although you have been fucking with him a lot. You did try. So yeah. Maybe.
And then he's a bushman.
Exactly. He's a bushman. You don't know what they're into.
How crazy would it have gone if he's just raping him? Like, the other guy, like, stumbles upon them and he's just hard, like, raping him. Again, animal bondage. That level of rape.
Level of rape. He's just like, hey, this in the bush. This is justice.
Yeah, he's like a Pulp Fiction.
Yeah, exactly.
Back of the pawn shop.
Australian for justice.
Yeah, rape. Australian for justice. Then we get that joke in there. We get a gay joke in there.
It's not great, but whatever.
But what he does is he plays the old switcheroony.
That's right. He dresses up in his clothes.
There's the other guy in his... Actually, they do it in The Revenant, now that I think about it.
Yeah, yes. Yeah,
he does it in The Revenant, too.
So,
much more effective.
It draws the one remaining guy out, tries to shoot him, but at the same time, old Linda and whatever, Gator show up, shoot at them, the whole thing becomes a mess. They think they've killed Mick. He goes off a cliff. They're like, oh, God, he's dead. Nah, he's not dead. No. He was the other guy the whole time.
Aborigine dude comes out, does deliver a pretty good line, which is like, if Dundee wants his pants, he's going to go down there and get them.
Yeah.
And then that's when he's like, oh, that's not really him. And then you find out
good thing you can't shoot straight.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah,
he also comes out with a shot to his fucking gut, like,
yeah,
side.
Yeah. He's a tough dude. He doesn't care.
He's the Dundee.
And then just that classic 80s, just let's freeze frame on them smiling.
Hey, we did it, guys.
Done.
Dun, 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 dun.
That's right.
Over, done and over with. Crocodile Dundee killed the Colombian cartels for no fucking reason.
Yeah, pretty much.
At what point were they like, you know, it'd be funny if he fought Colombian cartels?
It is a weird...
Because in 1988, Colombian cartels... Not funny at all.
I wouldn't think so. Yeah. I wouldn't think so.
A very serious problem. the most villainous of fucking guys.
Yeah, I just it's a very weird thing to sit down and be like, all right, so we have this hit movie, right? And it's about this Australian guy who meets up with this woman, this you know normal American, big city lady.
And it's too like it's fish out of water things. It's like,
very fish out of water.
She's
yeah.
like a prissy reporter there. Oh no, it's like a Romancing the Stone type of situation.
Yeah, yeah.
She's a prissy reporter that gets caught up into this thing, and then they go to New York, and he's a crazy Australian dude that's like doesn't
exactly.
understand. What
so
it's like.
Just it's pretty much a, like a romantic comedy, a lot of fish out of water, a lot of them falling in love.
Every now and then they have to fight some dudes and
right,
stuff.
Yeah, but
or animals.
It's pretty limited. And then so the sequel. All right, well, let's sequel. Do they fall out of love? Do they start? No. That's not doesn't work. Maybe there's another guy. Nah, another woman. Nah,
are we talking about poachers?
Poachers.
He finds
maybe?
Out
does
people are
poachers?
Poaching back in his land, and
yeah.
he's got to go back.
Or does he have to? Yeah, does he have to go save his friends? No. Colombian drug lord.
yeah.
It's a very, very, very odd choice.
It is a very because I feel like the obvious way to go is poachers.
That would make a lot of sense. That's actually in my mind what I thought.
What it was, right? I think there's a poacher that he beats up in the first one.
That might be what it is. Because I often get confused on which scene comes in this one and what scene goes in the first one.
Yeah. Because this one has more action than the first one, which makes me think the first one is actually a lot shittier.
Maybe. Although I feel like the first one.
Not shittier than this one. I mean, shittier than I remember.
Then you remember. Okay. Yeah. Fair. Yeah. But because the first one definitely has a lot of iconic scenes like him walking on people's heads and the Arsenal knife. This is a knife thing. Yeah. You know what I mean?
He does have a big knife.
About the first one later, though.
He does actually have a huge knife.
He does have a very large knife.
Yeah. It's that Rambo knife almost.
Yeah. It's exactly the Rambo knife, basically. Yeah.
Yeah. Only in Australia, apparently, that's a knife.
That's just a knife.
Yeah. And then Foster's is Australian for beer.
That's right.
There was some Foster's.
Which, Australia, you get better beer.
Yeah. These movies started this crazy, this Australian craze. Well, I would say...
It was definitely, if not...
It was like the right time, because Mad Max...
Exactly. Mad Max, these movies, Yahoo Serious. Yeah. I talked while we were watching it. I was telling you about how the X-Men went to Australia.
At that time,
first Australian X-Men, Gateway, who was an Aborigine. But yeah, it was a big time for Australia.
Yeah, all of a sudden we became like kind of infatuated with Australia. There was a remember that time that Cheech Marin dated an Australian girl in Shrimp on the Barbie?
Yeah.
We're just making movies out of phrases.
Yep.
Yeah. Yahoo Serious is fucking ridiculous.
Kangaroo Jack again.
Yeah. I mean, it was later on, but still.
Yeah, still the vestiges.
I think that was more about our obsession with marsupials.
With kangaroos and vegetables. Yeah, that's fair.
Actual Australia.
Was there ever a cartoon about kangaroos and or koala bears?
There was a Kangaroo Jack cartoon.
Oh, shit. Nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, there was an actual Kangaroo Jack cartoon. There was also the koala bear. You don't remember that koala bear cartoon where that girl goes into that other land that's all koala bears?
Not at all. It sounds amazing, though. I'm in.
Oh, get the fuck out. It was like two koala bear friends. It was one of them was bigger than the other one. The other one was little. But she goes into like this other like kind of fantasy land that's all like koala bears and shit.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah, now I'm going to have to Google that.
Yeah, too. No, I feel like kangaroo and koala bear cartoons should have been all the rage in the late 80s, and I'm disappointed I didn't watch more of them.
Well, koala bears are awesome.
Or, alternatively, and even better, because the only thing I loved more than Australia in the 80s, and America as a whole loved more than Australia in the 80s, was robots.
Yeah,
so
that's true.
Transforming kangaroos...
Kangaroo robots?
Kangaroo robots that transform into dudes, I guess.
Yeah.
And kick each other?
Noozles, what it was called.
Okay.
Also known as the Wondrous Koala Blinky. Yeah, that was Blinky was a fucking the bigger one. It was like a gray one named Blinky and a pink one named whatever the fuck.
I'm down for all of it. I'm in for all of it. But let's talk about how to make this movie just a little bit better.
Yeah, all right. Now, this is the part where we fixed Crocodile Dundee Part 2.
That's right.
Now, we're not fixing Part 1. That's its own movie.
No, that's its own movie.
Crocodile Dundee Part 2. We already talked about the animal bondage.
Right. So, yeah, I mean, definitely going a very sexy, very erotic...
Yeah. Right. What if it's all like just a cover for him to go back home because he misses tying up koalas so much.
That could be. And maybe she catches him tying up koalas and then she gets in on the action. Because he's like, this is just what I'm into. And she's like, I understand. I love you. So I'm going to tie up koalas with you. And then we're going to fuck.
Yeah. Around tied up koalas.
Yes, exactly.
That sounds very disturbing.
It does. Maybe they start a weird sex cult where it's like just a bunch of tied up animals and a bunch of dudes and ladies having sex in the middle of said animals.
You know what I'm surprised that they...
You're surprised we took this very disturbing and bad path?
No, I'm never surprised about that.
Okay, all right.
That's good. Pretty good, actually.
Yeah.
Hey, can we get Luis Guzman and Steven Root in there?
I'm 100% we can.
I would say if we can also get a stuck-up British guy that looks exactly like him, having to dress up as him.
Ooh, a little switcheroo. Yeah. I like this. All right, so Crocodile Dundee 2, a guy just shows up impersonating Crocodile Dundee.
Yeah, he's like an evil
guy. He's an evil Crocodile Dundee. Obviously, he has a goatee, obviously.
Played by Paul Hogan with a goatee.
Paul Hogan with a goatee.
And instead of like the fucking snakeskin jacket that he has like a crocodile jacket or some shit.
Something
a little bit off, a little bit different.
A little bit different, sure, yeah.
Or like a Southwestern
it's like lizard,
snake.
Yeah. Is that a rattlesnake?
Yeah, like rattlesnake, yeah exactly. Yeah.
And or do you get someone that looks kind of like Paul Hogan but different? They make the Clint Eastwood joke. Do you get like a Clint Eastwood type?
It just kind of like looks like him and he gets keeps getting confused.
Yeah,
him.
Yeah. Or maybe it's them in Hollywood and it's just Paul Hogan going for all these auditions and people being like, oh, I thought you were Clint Eastwood.
Oh, you know, all right. here's what I'm thinking now. All right. A Broadway actor that looks exactly like Paul Hogan and is super famous.
Uh-huh.
And then Paul Hogan shows up and everybody thinks that's him.
Oh, hilarious. And then they're like,
yeah.
And then Paul Hogan, a.k.a. Crocodile Dundee, he gets pulled into a Broadway musical and they're like, do Grease. And
he's just doing a character. Now. They're like, oh, he's probably practicing for some Australian part.
And they're like, no. But then you get him up on stage, and they're like, all right, Romeo and Juliet. And, oh, I don't know all that. You know, he doesn't know. He doesn't know any of that.
He doesn't know any of that. So then he ties up kangaroos and has sex over.
On the stage.
Yeah, on the stage. Because that's all he knows how to do.
And they're like, oh, this is a real... And then you get the one critic who's just like, this is a really daring portrayal of Romeo.
Yeah. And then meanwhile, the real Broadway actor is like...
He's stuck in the woods.
Yeah.
In the outback.
Yeah, because
in the bush.
They thought it was him, so they
That's right.
Him.
So now he's there with the Colombian drug lords.
And he's like...
And they skin him alive, probably.
Yeah, they immediately...
Colombian drug lords were pretty evil.
They immediately
pretty
shoot
evil
him in the face.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they cut off his hands first.
Yeah.
Maybe his tongue.
Maybe, yeah.
So it's... All right, so then it's this hilarious, bumbling, Crocodile Dundee trying to make it on Broadway, but being obsessed with tying up marsupials and several other animals. And then at the same time, though, a man being tortured to death.
That's very good. Does he also learn how to tie up American animals? Is that the real conflict of the movie? Is I know how to tie up a kangaroo, but how do I tie up a horse?
Yeah, so they're like, somebody has to tie up this horse, and he's like, I can't do it.
I
only know how to tie up kangaroos. And at the end, he like jumps in there, and it was like the whole time.
Yeah.
It was inside of me. I could tie up a horse.
I could do it the whole time. I just had to find the heart. I had to find the soul. By the way, don't at me. I know Australia has horses.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
I assume that in the bush, he's just all about them kangaroos
exactly.
Son.
Maybe, that's it. Kangaroos and koalas.
Yeah, yeah. And platypi.
Dingoes.
Dingoes, sure.
Yeah.
So Australia is famous for having very many, very poisonous snakes. Does he use said snakes to tie up said dingoes/kangaroos/other various animals?
And a hilarious Looney Tunes style.
And I also feel like this leads into the animated spinoff about the snake that is also rope.
Yeah, he's snake and rope.
He's like snake rope, he's a snake who his dad was very happy being rope all these times for Crocodile Dundee, but he doesn't want that life for him. He wants to sing.
Ah, so now what if he comes along? He saves the show at the end because the Broadway show
comes back.
The Broadway show is a mess because he's just tying up animals.
And then all of a sudden, what's that? What's that in the balcony?
A fucking snake.
And it's just, it's a fucking snake.
That rope that Crocodile Dundee had in his back pocket the whole time.
Yeah, just
turns out a living, singing snake.
That's right. And he just lays down just so the then, most beautiful version.
Sonata. Yeah. Like, and it's playing the whole time that he's tying up that horse super dramatically. And Broadway star Crocodile Dundee is getting chopped up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, Paul Hogan gets to play like all of them. So, chops.
Yeah, Paul Hogan gets to do the singing voice snakes.
Yeah,
voice?
Yeah, yeah. Why not?
Why not?
He's also, and he does like the mocap for the snake.
Of course he does. Because mocap was definitely a thing in 1988.
This may be my favorite fixing of any of the movies that we've done.
We've went a long way Holy around, shit. But I think we've come up with but some God damn very it, good we, things.
That's a great yeah. fucking movie.
So that's pretty much a wrap for today's episode.
Yeah, that's how we fix Crocodile Dundee 2.
Yeah, but thanks for joining us. And of course, make sure to come back next week and make sure to share and like with all your friends. Follow us on Facebook. Follow us on iTunes. What like, rate 5 stars. 5 stars, people.
Share, tell your
rate
friends.
It up. Tell your friends. Share it all over the social medias.
What do we got next week?
So next week, we go back to the future. By talking about a movie that comes back to the past from the far future, but it's a movie we've kind of talked about before. It's Star Trek 4. We're talking about Star Trek 4.
Oh, Star Trek 4. Yeah. Sweet. Hopefully we get some guests in there.
Yeah, yeah. Two I know a few people wanted to get in on that, so Star Trek 4... maybe the
also good cock tease with that Back to the Future.
Yeah, I know, right? We'll yeah. get there.
Everybody
we'll
get excited,
there, people.
Yeah.
We'll get there.
Yeah,
but yeah, Star Trek 4: A Voyage Home coming up next week. But until then, I'm EG Sites.
I'm Francisco Landin.
This is Blockbuster Nostalgia. Wishing you a good night and a good Johnny, mate.
We love you.